The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of our webpage.
Inevitably, all of us will ask God this one important question.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here? What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Then everything can seem so clear. AM 1260 The Rock presents God Calling. This locally produced program looks closer at stories of religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. And now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Welcome back to God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski, and this week, interesting program, a program about the headlines, I suppose, right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Peter and Laura Range are joining us. Peter is on the Toledo Catholic radio station with a show, Say Yes to Life. And clearly, as you might imagine by that, it's quite a bit to do with the pro-life movement. But some of your writings and some of the other things you've put together, Peter, it goes way beyond that. It's not just that. I've seen many of the things that you published. Let's introduce Laura, and then you can tell us about your call to marriage first, and then we'll get into your careers.
Yeah, Paul, thanks so much. So we got our kids with us, so if you hear some talking in the background, little children kind of running around here where we're located. Gianna, my daughter's 4, John Paul is 2, and little Joseph, even his pups at the moment, is 11 months. But my vocation to marriage was a long road to get there. I actually spent some time with the Society of Jesus discerning the call to religious life. And when I was in the seminary, I got the tremendous opportunity to go on a 30-day silent retreat to experience the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And, you know, when you spend 30 days in silence with Jesus Christ, you don't walk out the same man. And it really prepared me in so many ways to be the husband and father I am today, because my mission here as priest of the domestic church is to lead my bride and my kids home to heaven. So it's been a tremendous joy. I don't always do that perfectly, as Laura can testify to here in just a moment. But it's such a grace and such a gift to be a father, because I tell you what, Paul, I've learned so much about the Father's love for me. So my kids, who love to play and, you know, get down and dirty in the mud, there's nothing greater than when they just pause just for a moment and they look up at me and our eyes lock and there's no words, but there's just that moment of peace and connection where they're looking at their father for direction, for love, whatever it may be. And it makes me think about the Heavenly Father as well, how much our Heavenly Father just desires for us so deeply to stop just for a moment and to look up at Him in prayer, in connection, so that there can be true communion. So this Lent, especially as we enter into this time of penitence, as we prepare for the resurrection, let us remember that our lives are about spending eternity for Him. So often we get, you know, distracted by the things of this world and thinking that the things of this world are the most important. But ultimately, it's about living forever for Him and with Him. And so that's how we try to live family life. We don't live it perfectly. We're struggling every day, but it's such a gift to me. Laura, who is really, we're equally yoked in our love of Jesus, and that's been such a blessing to us in our marriage.
Laura, to see one of the kids look up at Dad, to look at Peter, and you see that look, that's got to be a blessing to you as well.
I think, you know, as Peter mentioned, for both of us, our vocation, we both tend to be maybe a bit perfectionist and performance-driven. So God really blessed us in our journey, somewhat long journey to each other, by kind of just refining our relationship and to less about, you know, performance-based acceptance and more to just really receiving the Father's love, which I think really prepares for parenthood, because as all the parents know, life is not perfect, and it will kind of beat the perfectionism right out of you.
Mm-hmm. How did you guys meet?
So after I left seminary, I spent some time in Cleveland working at a place called Opportunity House for former foster care kids after they graduated from the foster care system, turned 18. A lot of these kids are left to the streets, and so we created a house where those kids could come and live with us and just learn, you know, what it means to be an adult. And it was a tremendous experience. I mean, 7 out of the 9 kids that I lived with were homeless for many years. some had heroin addictions. It's a really great experience. But as I was praying to the Lord about what he wanted me to do, I felt called to maybe pursue some work in campus ministry so I could eventually get my PhD in theology and teach at a collegiate level. So I was praying novena to Our Lady, asking her to open up a campus ministry job somewhere, and nothing had come up, so where else do you go to find your future? So I Googled campus ministry jobs on the ninth day of novena, and St. Thomas More University Parish in Bowling Green came open. It's the Newman Center for BGSU, which is about 18,000 students out here in Bowling Green. So I moved out, and my first week out here, you know, surrounded by cornfields, I called my mother and I said, "Mom, I don't know what I'm doing out here. You know, I'm surrounded by cornfields. Things will seem a little bit slower here in Northwest Ohio." But that weekend, Laura came to visit her two younger brothers who were students at St. Thomas and at BGSU. And I quickly fell in love, and I shared my entire life story to her within 5 minutes to try to impress her. I don't know if it worked or not, but I found out the next day when I was telling my buddy about this amazing woman that I had met. She's a nurse, and she sings in the choir. She loves Jesus. And he interrupts me halfway through and says, "Hey, did you get a chance to meet my girlfriend Laura by chance?" I was describing his girlfriend to him the whole time. They ended up dating for 3 months. I praise God that she, Laura, actually ended up ending the relationship. And 3 months after that, I went to my friend and got his blessing to pursue Laura. And we kind of went in and out of relationship for a couple years. We broke up twice, but I finally got the courage and direction from the Lord to say yes to the vocation. Actually, I'd asked the Lord to hit me upside the head with a 2x4 to show me the direction I was supposed to go. And one night in preparing for a mass on campus, I literally was hit by the cross and 2x4, and the Lord showing me that it was a vocational cross. You know, it's whether it's priesthood or religious life or the married life, each is a cross that we're called to pick up and to walk with on our way home to heaven. So Laura and I eventually, you know, we planned our marriage and everything. We actually had to move the marriage date because her brother was getting married at a certain time that we wanted to avoid a little bit. So we landed on May 22nd, and I went to look on whose feast day that was, and it was actually St. Rita of Kasha, the patron saint of hopeless causes, who my mother had asked me to start a devotion to when I came out here to Northwest Ohio. So I told Laura, either we're a hopeless cause or we were meant to be. And after seeing these beautiful kids we have here, I have no doubt that we were meant to be.
On your radio show, gee, I feel like a rookie. We've only been doing this God Calling show for about 4 or 5 months. I noticed that your last show, the one I listened to over the weekend, was your 228th show. Wow.
It's been such a great show. And as you know, the radio is such a powerful medium to share the love of Jesus Christ. That's why I always invite people, you know, to financially support Catholic radio, because literally lives, hearts, minds, bodies, and souls are changed and are saved through this medium of radio. And yeah, I've had the great opportunity to interview people like Scott Hahn and Dr. Peter Krebs from Boston College, some of the heroes of mine. And, you know, it's a tremendous opportunity to share the good news. And my radio show, Say Yes to Life, is really dedicated to my father, who in his life was twice paralyzed in his life from the neck down. The first time at age 11 from polio. Thankfully, he regained about 50% use of his right arm. But then again, in 1989, after meeting my mom and having 6 kids, he was taking a pill to help him fall asleep at night. The pill re-paralyzed him again from the neck down. It injured thousands more here in the United States. But every single day, despite the fact my dad was paralyzed from the neck down, he continued to say yes to life. And through the radio show then, that's what we try to encourage people to do as well. In my podcast on Awakened Catholic called The Catholic Citizen, we just try to encourage people to embrace the cross in their life, because we know that it is through the cross that they will find resurrection.
Well, this is a good place for us to take a break, and because it hasn't been an easy journey. There's been some bumps along the road, and I'd like to talk to you about how you guys have dealt with that and move forward right after this commercial break. Stay with us, everybody. We're back on God Calling. This is Paul Orlowski, AM 1260 The Rock, and our guests on the program this week, Peter and Laura Range, who are very active in the pro-life movement in the Diocese of Toledo. Peter, of course, does a program, and he's also the Respect Life Coordinator for the Diocese of Toledo, and that program can be heard at 4 o'clock on Thursdays and then rebroadcast at 9:30 on Sunday morning. He's no rookie, 228 shows, as we said. Laura, you guys have had some, you know, obviously Peter's dad, but then you have 3 surviving children, but one of your children died, and that for any married couple is a burden. It's a terrible thing to have to live through, but you guys have done it. Tell me about that.
Yeah, it was actually, we had a miscarriage trimester, and it was within only a couple months of marriage. We had actually kind of thought we might have difficulty having children because I had had some previous diagnoses that I was working through, and I was actually seeing a natural technology doctor, which, if you've heard of that, that's kind of a Catholic alternative to IVF. All the treatments are in line with the church, and they can help you work through different issues that might cause infertility. So we thought, well, maybe it'll take us a while as kids, but we actually ended up getting pregnant right away and miscarried almost as quickly. So it just really blindsided us, and was only 3 months after Peter had lost his dad. So it was just a huge loss. I remember Peter saying, I feel like I lost my dad and my son, because we just had a strong feeling that it was a boy, even though we didn't know for sure. So just early on in our marriage, that was just very difficult to deal with, two huge losses as you're kind of getting used to each other in just the first year of marriage. I think we were both very broken from that. But, you know, as God always does, he's such a redeemer and was really able to redeem that brokenness, draw us closer together in our grief, and learn to work through that. And just, you know, for anyone that's miscarried a child, I think that we just found eventually so much comfort knowing that there was still an eternal soul created from our love, and though we did not get to hold him this side of heaven, you know, he's already there, and isn't that the goal of every parent, for your children to get to heaven? And so we have one there, three to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It also inspired me down the road a few years later to start a diocesan miscarriage ministry, because we had felt very alone, and when we experienced it, there just wasn't a lot the church had to offer around us, and so with a couple other friends that have experienced loss, started just a very small ministry for the diocese to send out care packages to women. It includes like a book and some remembrance things and a handwritten letter from us. And it's just been such a grace that God could, my pain, but comfort other pain, just like the scripture verse, you know, giving others the comfort that we ourselves have received. So I'm really, really grateful for the way the Lord has used that.
There was a void there, and you guys stepped forward to fill that void, and that's admirable. It's a blessing to those people, and I'm sure it'll come back as a blessing to both of you. I was looking at what's going on in Toledo now, the patient safety ordinance. Now, this has to do with picketing at abortion clinics. It's very controversial, and you guys are clearly against it. Peter, tell me about the patient safety ordinance.
Yeah, Paul, thanks so much for the question. So one of the things we try to do out here, and I know it's in Cleveland as well, and that's actually where I got involved in the 40 Days for Life, is, you know, to be a loving, peaceful presence on the sidewalk of the abortion facility so that these mothers walking into the facility thinking about killing their unborn children know that there's help and there's resources in the community, that there's a community of love that will come around them and surround and protect them and help them provide even just financial support, whatever they might need, so they can feel empowered to choose life. So when I came out here and I began working as the director of the Office for Life and Justice, we had a 40 Days for Life campaign which successfully closed down the former Center for Choice. 30,000 children have been murdered here in Toledo. But there was one more abortion facility, Capital Care, where we began our campaign. Over the past 7 years, then, we've had 44 mothers that we know about that have actually talked to us that have chosen life for their preborn children because we've been there. We had one woman, in fact, who walked out of the facility right to one of our individuals who's simply holding a sign and said, you know what, this morning I woke up and I asked God, give me a sign, do you want me to keep my child? He said, you are my sign. Thank you for being here today. So when you simply show up at the abortion facility, you can make a tremendous difference. Now, beyond just the people that we have there praying on a daily basis, we also have individuals who go there to specifically sidewalk advocate. So they are trained with the right thing to say to these moms and dads entering an abortion facility. And we're so thankful through those interactions, including my friend Tamisha, who I was just with today, as we had an opportunity to do a press conference to speak out against this ordinance. Through our experience together, she's one of those women that chose life because I reached out to her. Now, she rebuffed me the first two times that I reached out, and naturally so. But the patient safety ordinance would actually make it illegal now for someone like myself, after an individual says no to you the first time, that you're not allowed to speak to them at all post that. Now, not only is that not constitutional, it goes against our, you know, our freedom of speech to be able to issue, you know, the truth in love and speak the truth in love to these individuals, but it's also not good for moms and dads in the community. I mean, even if the mother in that specific circumstance, she's got it, doesn't happen, but even if she chooses abortion, it keeps resources out of her hands, that for maybe that next time that she might be considering abortion, she might be able to reach out to for help and assistance. Because, you know, when a woman procures an abortion, all the problems or issues that she had pre the abortion, or maybe the reasons why she's getting the abortion, they don't magically disappear as well. The only thing that disappears is the unborn child that is killed. So we're speaking out clearly and directly to Toledo City Council to tell them to vote against the patient safety ordinance, because number one, it's unconstitutional. But secondly, and maybe most importantly, it's keeping resources out of the hands of moms and dads in need at our local abortion facility. And if we're truly pro-choice, those individuals who are proposing this legislation, if you're truly pro-choice, then you want women to have every choice at their disposal. And unfortunately, the abortion business here in town, which is owned by a private individual, and the doctors are actually contracted in, they're only interested in one thing, and that's the bottom dollar. They get paid for the more abortions that they have. So whether it's here in Toledo, in Cleveland, Columbus, wherever it's taking place here in the state of Ohio, we need to do two things. One, be a presence at these abortion facilities where literally more lives are being taken than any other issue here in the state of Ohio. And secondly, we have to remember the power of our prayer. It's not trivial to say that prayer can move mountains. Dr. Peter Kreft said if we understood the power of prayer, we would never get up off of our knees. And so I invite everyone who's listening to the program to please pray for the people on the front lines of the pro-life movement. Pray that the Lord might introduce you to individuals in your community that you can help practically who are considering abortion. And pray, lastly, to be introduced to individuals who have had abortions so that you can be the merciful arm of Jesus Christ and draw them back into his mercy, invite them to the church, invite them to the healing that so many wounded souls right now are desperately needing because they've gone through the abortion experience.
Well, this is a great place to stop because it's going to segue nicely into the Project Rachel, which I know you're very busy in after we take a commercial break. So stay with us, folks, and we'll be right back with Peter and Laura Range right here on AM 1260 The Rock. This is Paul Orlowski right here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Peter and Laura Range joining us from Toledo. We're very active in the pro-life movement, but a portion of your ministry really has to do with post-abortion, women who maybe have had an abortion and now are having troubles. Mother Church reaches out to all. That's called Project Rachel. Peter, Laura, tell me about the Project Rachel program.
Yeah, Paul, thanks so much for the question because this is such a core component about what the pro-life movement is all about. We love them both. We love the unborn child. We love the mother and father who's considering abortions. We love the abortion doctor and the abortion nurses as well. Here in Toledo, I had an opportunity to, you know, take out the former abortionist actually to lunch to get to know him a little bit. We exchanged books. I gave him The Unaborted Socrates by Dr. Peter Kreft, and he gave me God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens. I don't recommend it. But the point being is that we try to love every single individual involved in this abortion decision because we realize that the Lord's mercy is for everyone. And there is no sin so deep that God's love is not deeper still. And the last time I got to talk to Dr. Tom, the former abortionist here on the sidewalk, was right before he was arrested. He was actually arrested on child pornography charges.
Oh, dear.
So this is an individual who had flown under the radar for so many years because the abortion industry is one of the most unregulated industries in the country. But our last conversation we had, he actually invited me up onto the abortion facility property, and it felt like the Holy Spirit was asking me to pray with him, so I invited him to pray with me. He said no. 10 minutes later, it was just on my heart. I said, Dr. Tom, I feel like the Lord really wants us to pray. So as I closed my eyes and opened my hands, I began to pray. And the hands that have killed 10,000 little babies came into my hands, and I prayed with the former abortionist there at Capital Care, and I was convicted in that moment of the great love and mercy that God has for each and every one of us, including myself, and that he wanted Tom to be in heaven to live with him in eternal paradise just as he wants me as well. So when we talk about the abortion issue, this isn't just about saving the preborn children, which is our fundamental task, and we need to change the laws to reflect the reality that every single human person made in the image and likeness of God is deserving of fundamental rights, including first and foremost the right to life. But we don't stop there. We want to care for the mothers and fathers as well. So we recognize that there's millions of mothers and fathers who have made that abortion decision. We want to be there for them as well to introduce them to the love and mercy of Jesus Christ and let them know that we care for them. And we know, you know, the pro-choice side often talks about the fact that the abortion decision is empowering for women. You know, women taking control of their lives, and they should have reproduction, freedom and everything. But what they don't tell you is that the suicide rates, that the suicidal ideation, the thoughts that women have, the drug use, tobacco use, all exponentially increase statistically for women who have had abortions. So we reach out through our Project Rachel ministry. We have monthly support groups. We have yearly retreats or bi-yearly retreats. And then also just one-on-one counseling for those moms who have had abortions so that they can experience the love of Jesus Christ. And I've been on some of those retreats, and to hear mothers that from 6 months from their last abortion to 30 years from their past abortion where they didn't tell anybody, and this particular wound had been eating them up inside, I can see how the love and mercy of Jesus Christ can truly renew someone if they're introduced to it. And that's what we try to do through Project Rachel. And I know Laura also wants to chime in a little bit.
Please do.
I think one thing that's important to remember when it comes to abortion and how women grieve is we're so used to a society that is so confused and a lot of times wrong about the unborn. You know, we have a society that's telling us it's not a child, it's not human, or all these things that are so, as we know, you know, in the church, incorrect. And I think we found that with our miscarriage even, you know, women who miscarry or have abortion, they are grieving the loss of a child, but yet they're told it wasn't a child. And I think especially for women who choose abortion, who are just told again and again this was not a child, but yet in their hearts they know this was their child. So there's this grieving process that's pushed down because they feel like they're not allowed to grieve because people are saying you shouldn't grieve, it wasn't anything. And so I think that kind of keeps women from finding the healing that they need. And so like Peter said, they have this wound they're carrying, and they don't even know it's there or how to reach out. And I think that's why they do turn to things like drugs. And we do need to be more vocal about allowing them to grieve and find the healing that they are so desperately searching for.
And Paul, if I might add, you know, we've heard from women who've had abortions that they feel like because their pastors haven't preached about this issue from the pulpit, that their sin was really unforgivable. Because, you know, if even the priest can't talk about this issue, then, gosh, you know, the Lord certainly might not forgive me. So we need our pastors also to step up and to preach about this issue in love and mercy and compassion, of course. But we need them to preach and talk about these issues that are affecting so many women, even in our own pews. So I invite, there's a young woman who's been on the call today listening to the radio station. Go to hopeafterabortion.com for more information about this ministry. And if you're a man as well, please, you can also go to that ministry and they can direct you to help and healing that we all need to find the mercy of our Lord.
You guys must be doing a great job because I looked at some numbers that I saw online, and your March for Life in the year 2020, obviously pre-pandemic, you know, 700 people from the Diocese of Toledo, along with Bishop Thomas, go to Washington. That's remarkable.
Yeah, you know, and the March for Life is just such a tremendous experience, and I push it so hard because I had such a powerful experience myself as a junior in college at John Carroll University there on the east side of Cleveland. I went to the March for Life, and I encountered a homeless man on the side of the street. He had taken one of the pro-life signs of the Knights of Columbus, you know, pass out, and said, defend life. Somewhere he got a marker, and on the back of it, he wrote, am I not life, too, question mark. And I was really convicted in my heart with a lot of my work with the homeless that, gosh, we're marching for life here, but we're passing up life here on the side of the street. So I went over to him, and I gave him $2, said, God bless you, sir. He called me back, and we ended up talking for about 2 hours. And at the end of our conversation, you could tell his name was Dre. Ray was just touched by the fact that I treated him like a human being. I touched him on the shoulder when I was speaking to him. He pulled me right up to his face and made me repeat to him that I have a purpose and mission in life and that I will fulfill it. And I want to tell all the listeners who are listening today that they have a purpose and mission in life and that they will fulfill it. We're living in extraordinary times, but it's a Kairos moment where we can go back out and preach the gospel anew because people are dying to hear the saving knowledge that Jesus Christ has come and died for their sins, has opened up eternal life for them, and they can live, as St. Paul calls us to, with the newness of life. So don't ever doubt, Paul and everybody listening, that you have a purpose and mission in life and that you will indeed fulfill it.
We've only got about 20 seconds left, but let's have a plug here. Some of our listeners, we reach into some of your counties as well, Erie, Huron, Richland, and Sandusky, but your program is always available online. And live at 4 o'clock on Thursdays and 9:30 a repeat on Sunday mornings. And where exactly can folks tune in?
Yeah, annunciationradio.com is a great place to go, as well as awakencatholic.org. Check out the Catholic Citizen there.
Very good. Peter and Laura Raines, thanks for joining us. And thank the kids, too. They were pretty good.
Thanks, Paul.
All right. Very good. Enjoy. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski. I hope you'll join us next week at the same time.
What do you want me to do? Why am I here? You're here on this planet for a reason. What do you want me to do? Why am I here?
Hello? Hello? Who is this?
This is God calling.
Thank you for listening to God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock. This locally produced program is dedicated to looking closer at religious vocations from the priesthood to marriage, from parenting to the single life. Join us next week for another episode, and if you missed any part of this week's program, visit our website at am1260therock.com and click on the Archive Audio tab.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock. Click on the Donate Now button in the upper right corner of the webpage.